We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog. Struggling dogs. Talking about every kind of dog. Good dogs, bad dogs. Especially the sad dogs. Dog, 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 dog. Reward your dog.
Welcome to the Reward Your Dog podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Verena.
We understand what it's like living with dogs who struggle.
And we are here to give you tools and ideas to help you and your dog live an awesome life.
Awesome.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
This is our go-round number two for episode number four.
Yeah, that's true. This is go-round number two of go-round number two for episode number four.
Episode number four was like A New Hope, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh. So, just saying.
Uh-huh. Right, so... secretly, this is the first episode? Is
that what... I guess so. No, it's not.
We okay. recorded this back in 1977, folks. We hope it holds up. Reward Your Dog podcast. That's what we're doing. Episode four. What's it going to be about?
Great question, Jesse. I'm glad you asked. So last time, we talked a lot about the states of the nervous system, mm-hmm. about the green, yellow, and the red zone.
Correct.
So if you haven't listened to that, it would actually be really helpful for you to have that in the back of your mind. So go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. But we're going to talk all about how you can tell how your dog is feeling based off of their body language.
Right. So I presume they wag their tail, they're happy... game over. Everybody go home?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, we'll come to that soon. But before we do...
just kidding.
What else have you got going on?
The dog boarding madness has subsided. But yeah, I have a new cohort of the Shy Dog or Confidence Building for the Shy Dog class coming up. And if you live in Portland, sign up is now open. The class starts at the... on the 7th of April, but we're going to leave sign up open until the 14th of April.
Okay.
It's a small group, so it may sell out quickly. It's just a four dog cohort. But yeah, it's basically for dogs. So if you have the kind of dog where you're like, just don't make eye contact and it should be fine. Just don't reach for my dog. Just don't talk to my dog. It's for those kinds of dogs that just really struggle meeting new people.
Yeah. And also those dogs that are shy by jumping all over you, is that right?
Yeah, those dogs can also benefit from the class, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most often we get dogs that don't want to approach new people or that may bark at new people, but we've also had the, you know, fawny, overexcited slash terrified
right.
dog in the class as well, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes they go through phases.
Sure.
Yeah, that class is awesome. I have seen it work miracles.
Yeah, and you, you've been pretty consistently a helper in the class. Do you have any kind of takeaways?
Mostly that it, the stuff that goes into it, the like treat and retreat protocol that you use, seems really simple, and some of the nuance isn't obvious at first, but it's insanely powerful.
It's really good. Yeah. It's a powerful thing to learn.
Dogs can really like flourish in... I mean, like, I don't want to make any promises, but, like, we've seen progress that has been really quite surprising using it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool. That is coming up, and if that works for somebody, maybe they should reach out to you. And I'm sure we'll include details on how to do that.
Sure.
Probably if you're listening, you already know how to do that. Anyway, how about the animal check-in?
About the animal check-in, I thought we'd do a little check-in on our little boarding dog, Sandy Sandstorm. Well, her name is just Sandy, but Sandstorm or Operation Sandstorm
mm-hmm.
is her, I guess, her secret code name at our house. Do you want to talk a little bit about why that is so?
Why is that so? Because she comes on a little strong sometimes, does our Sandstorm. she can change everything about your day. When she comes blowing in. But she's also super sweet, Sandy.
Mm-hmm. She's a good girl. So yeah. She came to us, this is our second time boarding her.
Mm-hmm.
She came to us kind of like pretty frantic, tearing around the house, just unable to settle and wild.
Yeah, and that's when she really earned the nickname. I don't think we would have thought of it the second time.
Maybe not. No. But it looks like kind of giving her a consistent structure and a lot of kind of work around how can you access my attention? How can you access rewards from me? Can we make sure your needs are met by taking you out and letting you run around in the woods? All that stuff really simmered her down. I feel
like she's doing so good now.
Such a good dog. Yeah. So Sandy's a young golden retriever. She's about 9 months now, I want to say. So pretty much like total adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
And with golden retrievers, you know, it's going to last till they're five. So.
Well, I wonder about that with her. Because she's so distinctly a, like, working breed golden retriever. She looks a lot different than some of the more, like, pet-type golden retrievers that we see. She's a lot smaller. She's just kind of rangier.
Rangy, yeah.
You know, like, a darker color. She's more of a, like, deep, you know, russet than the, like, sort of really pale gold that we see. She's just a very different-looking dog than a lot of golden retrievers. And I wonder if she will also have, like, different behavioral characteristics than some of those goldens that we're used to.
Yeah, well, she's been a very fun dog to work with, and shout out to Sandy for spending spring break with us. Good times.
Spring break, woo!
Woo!
Cool. Well, maybe that's the animal check-in ticked off our list.
I would say so.
In that case, how about the topic of the week, which is...
Let's talk about body language.
Body language. Okay, cool. Body language.
Yeah, body language. I think it is a really, really important topic. And it's something that we can easily miss. So basically, our dogs communicate to us all the time. And they do that by moving their bodies.
Right. Because aside from barking and growling and whining and that kind of thing, most of what we see from our dog is what we see. Right? We're not listening to their words because they don't have a lot of them.
No, true. That's 100% so. So basically, the way our dogs move and act in the world and the way their body parts kind of do things can tip us off as to which state of the nervous system our dog is in.
See episode 3, nervous system.
Yep.
Yep.
So we can basically tell by our dog's body language whether they are relaxed, excited, or terrified.
Mm-hmm. How?
How? Well, I'm glad you asked.
Well, let's just cut to the chase here.
So there are many ways to conceptualize dog body language. And there are tons of books, great video resources. I'll actually link a few in the show notes for you so that you can educate yourself further. But basically, there are two main approaches towards body language.
Okay.
I would say the most common approach that I see these days is that we'll focus on what the individual body parts of a dog are doing. Oh, look at what their mouth is doing. Look at what their ears are doing and their tail is doing. From all of these things, we conclude that our dog feels a certain way. That's approach number one.
Yep.
Is that making sense?
Sure. It has the merit, it seems to me, of being really repeatable and observable, right?
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to a general sense of my dog looks anxious, which is very subject to interpretation. You can say for sure the tail was up, the tail was down, the ears were back, whatever the specifics are.
That's a really good point, right? We are often very prone to labeling our dogs. We're going to go like, my dog is blah, 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 anxious, bratty, stubborn, right?
Right. Suffers from ennui.
That's our dog. Yeah. That's a bit of an Aussie thing, I guess. For example, but often when my clients say something like that, I'll be like, okay, what does that actually look like? What are you perceiving in your dog? And that helps me kind of figure out what the underlying emotion could be or how the dog is relating to the events.
Yeah. And what your client is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what's repeatable? What's something that we can put a label on and say that it's definitely happening instead of maybe just in the imagination, hopes, fears, dreams of the person observing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, labels are to some degree stories that we tell about our dogs. But, I mean, labels are also good as a shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a label such as fearful or overstimulated can actually be really useful if we're truly seeing behaviors that fall into that category.
Right.
So I'm not trying to say you can't ever say your dog is scared or your dog is aggressive, right? But if you're saying your dog is scared, but their body language indicates over-arousal, that's not going to give us the best path forward to helping this dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Well, that's approach one.
That's approach one.
Approach two is a little bit different. So some people are pushing back on these kind of body part...
Do tell.
...ways of identifying your dog's emotions. And they say that, yes, of course... If your dog licks their lips, that might mean a certain thing, but it's more practical to focus on the whole dog and the impression you can get of the whole dog's body moving in certain ways.
Is that to say to just look at the dog and come up with a vibe, or is it more about like posture or movement, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're thinking about posture, pacing, or pace and balance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the other way. And to be quite honest, I use both.
I imagine we all do, whether,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whether we know it or not.
I think so too. And just a quick word, you as a dog guardian have a superpower, which is that you live with your dog. And for the most part, maybe you'll miss a few things that your dog is doing. Sure, I miss some things that my dogs do sometimes too. But you also have the absolute advantage of living with your dog and being able to observe them. So don't discount your observation powers. You might not always know what a certain thing that your dog is doing means, but once you know that, you already have a huge advantage over us trainers who only see your dogs every once in a while, or maybe just virtually.
Right, because every animal is an individual. And
very much.
One dog might do something that means they're very upset, where another dog might do that same thing. And in some cases, it might not, you know, indicate that they're upset.
Yeah. Disclaimer here, obviously, every dog is an individual. So when we are talking about body language, a lot of stuff will depend on the kind of breed that your dog is, and it will also depend on your dog's individual characteristics and habits, right? Learning history can play into body language as well sometimes. But
yeah,
we have two dogs that have upright ears. We have a Husky Cattle Dog mix and a German Shepherd, and they're pointy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also floppy-eared dogs, right? The Golden Retriever we just talked about is a floppy-eared dog. Very different body language there.
Yeah, just in the ears.
Mm-hmm. Or if you have a dog that has a longer coat or a curly hair, like a lot of poodles or poodle mixes, like a doodle, it's a lot harder to read because their facial muscles are hidden under a bunch of fur.
Right, for sure. Like Ozzy, who has a very short coat, you can see when his forehead gets wrinkly.
Yes.
And that means, you know, like that can indicate possibly concern or tension on something.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a furrowed brow, right? As we say for a human. And you're not going to see that on your big curly doodle.
Yeah. 100%. Same if your dog's tail is docked or naturally short, right? And then there are some dogs, like Rhodesian Ridgebacks, for example, that have naturally got a lower tail set, where in some dogs, if they had that same tail set, it would mean that they're fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, it's just the resting position that tail is in. Whereas for a husky, often the tail is curled over their back. And that's normal for them. But for another dog, that would be like maximum excitement.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the stuff we're saying, you still are going to have to filter that through who your dog actually is in terms of breed and also personality.
Now that you say that, I don't think I've ever seen a curly dog's hackles go up.
Ozzy?
Yeah, he's not curly, though. You can see his hackles.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right?
I thought you meant a curly-tailed dog.
No.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, a big fluffy dog,
yeah,
you're not going to have that piece of information as easily anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really tough to read a super furry dog's body language sometimes, in some ways.
Especially the floppy-eared ones. Mm-hmm. Although you can definitely get a lot from the way their ears move anyway.
Well, we're already firmly in camp one, which is focusing on the body parts.
Okay, so what do you do with these curly-ass dogs?
Did you just swear?
I don't think curly-ass is going to get us in trouble with Apple. Go on.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Anyway, so there's a company called Family Paws. You can look them up at familypaws, like the doggy paws, .com. And they have it's basically a focused on kind of integrating dogs within the family. There's a lot of great resources for kids. So if you have a family with kids, you might want to check them out. And they have a little saying that goes, ears, eyes, tail, and muzzle gather the clues to solve the puzzle. So they basically say, they teach the kids, if you look at these different body parts, then you will start to understand how the dog is actually feeling and whether you should pet them or not interact with them. So let's talk about each of these parts.
Okay, I heard ears first.
Ears. So you've already started talking about ears. Do you want to kind of lead us off there?
Sure. Well, your pointy dogs, the ones with the uppy ears, tend to use those ears like little semaphore flags that signal a lot about what they're thinking and feeling, what they're paying attention to. Although interpretations can vary, right?
Yeah.
For example, a dog putting its ears back can be that they're, you know, scared or getting ready to start a fight or some like really like intense sort of negative feeling like that. But they also put their ears back as sort of a greeting when they're super happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really subtle difference in the ears back thing, but it definitely means something.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very likely that the ears back look different in each case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you have a Labrador Retriever or Labrador Retriever mix, sometimes when they put their ears back in a greeting, they kind of show you the insides of their ears. So that's like a friendly ear back. But when mm-hmm. the ears are pressed against the side of the skull, that's more fearful.
Right. Because they're trying to protect their ears
mm-hmm.
is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes they will pivot those individual ears towards a thing that they're listening to.
Yes.
And so sometimes you can tell when a dog is like, I'm aware of you, but I'm ignoring you.
Yes. 100%.
Or my attention's, I'm pretending to look at you, but I'm really kind of concerned with what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ears can tell you a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, ears are moved by the muscles at the base of them.
Right.
So there's a lot of like, how much tension is there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can see with the floppy-eared dogs, you can still see what's going on there.
Yeah.
By the way, they sort of move the base of their ears,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leading to one of the cutest phrases of all, pizza ears.
Pizza ears, yes. So often when a floppy-eared dog of a certain type of floppiness, so not a super long spaniel ear, but more like a, you know, a shorter golden ear or like a maybe a bully
mm-hmm.
Dog, when they get alert, they'll like put their ears up and the fronts of the ears will hang down and looking like a pizza slice.
Aww.
Which is adorable. So generally you want to pay attention to, are the ears pressed back? Are they hanging down in a relaxed manner? Are they alert and forward? Those
right.
are the three ear positions I would pay attention to. And then obviously, the ears alone aren't going to tell us the full story.
Which leads us to eyes.
To eyes. That's right. Eyes have a lot of stuff going on, obviously. We can think about the shape of the eye, right? So most, again, the eyes, just like with the ears, relate to how tense or relaxed is the forehead
mm-hmm.
of the dog. Logical, right? So just like with us, we talked a little bit last week about that preparing for fight and flight and moving into that sympathetic nervous system. The more the dog moves into a higher state of excitement, and ramps up towards fight or flight, the more tension we have, generally. And that means the dog will open their eyes wide, sometimes to the point where you can see the whites of their eyes.
Right.
And also the pupils will dilate.
Got it.
So you can sometimes tell that a dog is chronically stressed when they have really large pupils all the time. But yeah, that's a little bit of a sidebar. But when we see the whites in the dog's eyes, we call that the whale eye.
Yeah.
Or half moon eye sometimes. And that means that the dog is kind of looking out of the corner of the eye at something, and it's usually a sign of worry, or it's a sign of really, really wanting something. So my dog will sometimes do this when I'm holding a treat out of reach.
Uh-huh.
Right? He's not scared of the treat, but he really wants it. Or he may look that way when there's another dog threatening to get his treat.
That's the time I think of the whale eye. Maybe the dog is like feeling a little too lazy to actually move their head and track the dog. But their eyes are very much locked on the other dog and whether they're going to, you know, come after their bully stick or something like that.
it can be that way. And then it can be a precursor for, I'm going to snipe at that dog. Yeah. Right.
So for sure.
It's definitely a warning sign in that way. But I also see it when it's like, oh man, there's like the quote unquote spider over there, the scary thing, mm-hmm. the human, the other dog. But I don't feel empowered to fully look at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they don't want to direct their attention because that might elicit a response. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at the same time, they need to track it.
They're like, whoa, what's that over there? Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. And then we can kind of lump what you said about the forehead in over that, right? Mm-hmm. The scrunched up forehead, that furrowed brow, that's also part of that eye area, right? So yeah. We want to see that smooth and relaxed and calm in the green zone when our dog is chill. But the more we're ramping up towards fight or flight, the more scrunched up it often gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not always bad. Sometimes I see a dog scrunch up their face like that when they're puzzling something out or working out, like, how do I get the treat? How do I solve the training puzzle? So yeah. It's not necessarily terrible, but it's just a sign of tension.
Because sometimes that arousal is positive.
Yeah.
Or, you know, under a threshold that we would consider positive.
Yeah, eustress.
Right.
Happy stress.
Jigsaw puzzles are fine up until they make you want to flip the table over.
Yes, we can get too aroused by a jigsaw puzzle. This is how old and boring we are, folks. We get excited by jigsaws.
Okay, well, let's move on.
Mm-hmm. Want to talk about tails?
It's too real. Yeah, let's talk about the dog's tails instead.
So I'm sure you've heard the old saying, a wagging tail is a happy tail. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Jess?
I don't know if I've ever heard that saying, to be honest with you.
I'm probably misquoting it. Well, I didn't grow up here, but I've heard people say, like, if the tail is wagging, this is a happy dog.
Sure. I mean, that's what we all kind of assume, right?
Yeah. Well.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that wagging tails are no good anymore?
Yes and no. I mean, there's many. So when it comes to tail wags, that's just not subtle enough to really determine what's up with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because your dog can wag with a very loose swaying of the hip, kind of a low or mid tail set, and that can be a very happy, joyful wag.
Mm-hmm.
But if your dog wags very tensely, short side-to-side motions, that may not be super happy.
Right, that's more of a, arousal or nervousness kind of wag?
Yeah. I mean, tail wagging is generally a sign of excitement
mm-hmm.
in some way, right?
Which, as we've kind of learned, excitement can go a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if we have the tail, you know, if we don't have the whole butt moving in that happy, wiggly way, but it's just a tense, high tail that's moving quickly from side mm-hmm. to side, that is not a happy dog.
Yeah, it occurs to me as you say that while some of this is hard to explain again, you know, in an auditory medium, yeah. I think most of the listeners are going to immediately understand mm-hmm. what is meant by mm-hmm. these differences. They'll be able to picture on their own dog or dogs they know how sometimes that wiggly butt and stuff represents a real, you know, comfortable, happy dog.
Yeah.
And sometimes that nervous twitching is mm-hmm. a very different tail wag.
For sure. And I feel like, I mean, not understanding that distinction leads to a lot of dog park fights.
Right.
Quite honestly, because like, oh, it's fine, my dog is still wagging, but I'm like, ooh, this is not a happy wag though.
Right.
Right. So just kind of doing away with waggy tail means happy dog and just going like, what quality of wag do we have?
Right. So you disabuse yourself of that like binary of wagging means one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're kind of freed up to actually observe the dog's behavior and relate that to what that, you know, might actually mean for them.
Yeah, that's a great way to say that. Obviously, if the dog has that tail tucked underneath their body, that can mean that the dog is very, very fearful.
Right.
Often we see that before the dog pees themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty high up the fear ladder right there. So, for example, if you are working with your puppy and introducing them to new environments and they've got their tail tucked under, even if they seem quote unquote fine in the rest of their body, you might want to move them away from that.
Right. Or at least slow your roll, mm-hmm. give them a chance to get mm-hmm. comfortable.
Yeah. I'm generally, I would say, distance and then reapproach. But yeah, let's not get into the weeds of that. But the tail itself is an extension of the spine. Mm-hmm. And if we have a lot of tension and rigidity in the spine, the tail's going
to
do things.
That's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, if we think about like how we get tense our mm-hmm. shoulders or mm-hmm. whatever, it's just kind of extended out where it can be seen more easily.
Exactly. Well, the last piece of the puzzle, and one of the more complex ones, because we can also talk about vocalizations, is the muzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Or the mouth area.
Right. So, a lot of times you see with dogs that they show their teeth.
Hmm.
Right? And that doesn't always mean the same thing, does it?
No. I mean, dog teeth are large and scary, but there's obviously a loose open mouth pant,
mm-hmm.
which we often see during play or on a hot day,
yep.
That is not concerning, except that maybe our dog needs some water.
Yeah, right.
So if we have the corners of the mouth pulled back a little bit, but not too much, we'll talk about that pulling that further back in a moment, and the dog is just like open mouth panting happily,
mm-hmm.
that is fine. There are also open mouth ways of panting that are more stress related, and often we see tension in the ears as well.
Okay.
For that, or eyes. but in general, we could think about, so when the dog's lips, right, on the side of their mouth are really long, mm-hmm. that's usually a sign of fear. So if we have a closed mouth and a long lip.
What do you mean long lip?
So the lip crease, when your dog has their mouth closed.
Mm-hmm.
When that pulls further backwards towards the ears.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when the lip crease becomes shorter towards the front, we move into what we call, in the technical term, an agonistic pucker. which means that, you know, further down the line, they're going to start exposing their front teeth.
Uh-huh.
And that is the kind of tooth exposure that is not so great, right?
Right.
We've got that coming in there usually too. So long lip or lip that is longer than usual is often a sign of fear, whereas a shorter lip that then starts exposing the front teeth is a sign of aggression.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said that like sometimes they sort of pull their lips back when they're getting ready to bite, mm-hmm. so that they bite you and not their own lips.
Interesting. I haven't thought about it this way, but that makes a lot of
sense. Right. They pull their lips out of the way so they can get the business end ready for action.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. What does it mean when the dogs yawn?
Yeah. Yawning is interesting. I'm going to finish the teeth stuff
in a
moment.
Sorry.
So sometimes we also see our dog almost like grinning or grimacing
mm-hmm.
when they're like open mouth and the corners of their mouth are like pulled really far back and they look like... Right, that kind of behavior, we sometimes call that a grimace.
Uh-huh.
That often means that your dog is way, way, way too overexcited and they are having a hard time handling things.
Hmm.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Well, you were asking about?
Yawning.
Yeah, there's a lot of like behaviors associated with the mouth region. Right.
I mean, I guess that's kind of a breathing behavior also, but
it is.
The mouth is where we really see it.
Yawning is often a sign that your dog is somewhat stressed.
Okay.
And they're trying to kind of release that stress. And they may also, you know, it's a little bit hard to know why your dog is doing something, but just for the simplicity of this podcast, yawning means that your dog is finding something most likely somewhat stressful
mm-hmm.
or that your dog is tired. But dogs more often seem to yawn when they are a little stressed.
Right.
Other mouth stress behaviors we might see is lip licks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our dogs may also lip their licks. I knew I was going to do that.
Yeah. All right, go on.
Lick their lips. Okay, I'll start over. Our dogs might also lick their lips when they are tasting something yummy.
Sure.
Or having peanut butter or something that's sticky. But if you see lip licking outside the context of food, it's most likely the case that your dog is uncertain.
Yeah.
Often we see that in combination with whale eye or the ears pulled back.
Right. And when you start seeing several of these components all at once.
Yes.
you start to develop a pretty good picture of where your dog is.
Hence, the ears, eyes, tail, muzzle gather the clues to solve the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of excellent Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, Reels videos out there where people will analyze what happened prior to a bite or a reactive outburst. And they'll be like, look here, we had the whale eye, we had the ears, we had the lip lick. And then the kid gets bit or whatever it is that you're seeing.
And probably a dog with a lot of social intelligence, a dog that's been raised around other dogs and, you know, has had sort of all the exposure as a puppy to play and that kind of thing, can read these signals from other dogs.
Yeah.
Assuming those other dogs also are well socialized.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say
because
so.
A dog that's not well socialized maybe is just kind of a difficult to read animal for both humans and other dogs.
Yeah, there's a wonderful resource on YouTube, the Shelter Playgroup Alliance, SPA. We'll link them in our show notes too, that has a lot of great videos breaking down dog play. We'll talk about dog play more in the future. But kind of, there's a lot of secret communication going on that we may miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Posting up outside a dog park is actually really fascinating.
Right, and as you start to put these tools of understanding dog body language to use and build your own repertoire, your ability to read what they're telling each other, you'll be able to understand your animal a lot better.
Yeah, true. It's interesting to when I hear my dog always gets bullied at the dog park, or, you know, my dog is always like bears the brunt of other dogs' wrath. Wow, that was a weird way to say that.
That's pretty dramatic.
I know. What I'm trying to say is, like, other dogs are mad at my dog all the time.
You've got some pretty high-flown clients there.
Well, I am high-flown, yeah, I guess. Right. No, I learned my English from Shakespeare, you guys, because that's what you do in Germany.
Forsooth.
To be or not to be, that is the question, right? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is... We may have to cut a little bit of this part.
I'm not cutting out forsooth. I'm very proud of that. Let's move on.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. What was I talking about, Jesse?
You were talking about dog body language.
Yeah.
And specifically...
Oh, the rap.
Yes,
yeah.
The
so
rap.
If your dog gets attacked at the dog park a lot, it might be that they're bad at reading other dogs' body language or that they're sending weird signals to other dogs.
Yes, I can think of several dogs off the top of my head who get themselves in trouble a lot.
All
because
the time.
A, they can't read other dogs very well, and B, they send very weird signals that other dogs tend to take umbrage at.
Yeah, take umbrage at. So now you're coming out with that. I'm just kidding. Anyway, all good. But what I'm trying to also say is not all breeds may get along because they look different.
And have very different ideas about what's fun.
Yeah, their play bits may really be really different. And for some, it might be aggression. For others, it might be play, right? It's complicated. And play may be something we explore in a future episode, too.
I'm sure we will.
Well, let's shift on to paradigm number two.
Okay.
So I'm talk a little bit about an alternative to reading those body parts. Because it's super informative, it's also slow.
Yeah.
If we have to, like, go from one piece of the dog to the other, if we're trying to make a split-second decision about whether we should proceed or stop or, you know, mission abort.
Right, we're not trying to get out a checklist.
Yeah, that's more for video analysis. That's more for slowly studying your dog in an environment where you're not having to intervene right away. I'm not saying don't use these body parts. They can be super helpful. But sometimes it's easier to look at the dog as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of three aspects that I want to look at. Loose versus stiff, slow versus fast, and then where's your dog's balance?
Okay. So what do you mean when you say loose versus stiff?
So we talked about how when your dog shifts from the parasympathetic into the sympathetic nervous system, their stress hormones come online.
Mm-hmm.
We're pumping less blood to the fine motor patterns.
Yep.
Like tongue... You know, anything that requires precision, dexterity.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're pumping more into the big muscles that allow you to fight or flee.
Yeah.
So basically, that means we're going to see an increase in tension in the body.
Right. So as you get more jacked up, you become less fluid in your motions, less relaxed.
That doesn't mean all tension is bad.
Uh-huh.
We already talked about some excitement and arousal is normal, and there is even a certain level of arousal or excitement in which the dog can still act somewhat productively.
Mm-hmm.
And this term is was coined by Suzanne Clothier, productive versus unproductive arousal. So, you know, if you have a dog that is competing in agility or doing the bite sports where they're biting the sleeve of the helper,
mm-hmm.
They need to be aroused to a certain level.
Or just chasing a tennis ball.
Or just chasing a tennis ball, but they still need to be able to listen.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying that all tension is bad.
Right.
Right. But in general, if we're trying to figure out if a dog is having a good time or not having such a good time, we want to look at loose versus stiff.
Yep.
Loose is wiggly, curvy, bent mm-hmm. limbs, things like that, right? So if your dog is lying down on the floor and they have a bend, like a C curve in their spine, that's much more relaxed than a dog that's sitting on their haunches and the spine is straight as an arrow.
They call that the Sphinx?
The Sphinx down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, the Sphinx down could be a very alert, ready for action
mm-hmm,
down.
Mm-hmm.
But a dog that's like laying in a circle with its nose tucked under its tail
yes.
is a very different dog.
Mm-hmm. But that also relates to that tail wag, right? If
mm-hmm.
the whole dog is kind of wagging, I call it the trouble tail in my
uh-huh.
shepherd. Like if we have like a loose, gentle sway from side to side, that's a loose wag versus that high, stiff, quick wag that we have, right?
Right.
Or if we have a lot of rigidity in the neck, lots
mm-hmm.
of tension versus a wiggly kind of dancy front paw. One of our dogs that kind of dances on the sofa when we come home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call him the dancy boy. It's very cute.
Okay, cool. I think I got that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about slow versus fast.
Yeah. So again, as we're ramping up more into the sympathetic nervous system, motions become jerkier, more hectic, quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So if your dog is moving just way more quickly and more rapid kind of succession of behaviors, they may be ramping up towards fight or flight as well.
Right. So, and that's not just like the amount of ground they cover in a second. It's like moving their heads back
moving
and forth.
Moving their heads back and forth, moving the ears,
uh-huh.
Some fidgeting behaviors
yeah.
that we talked about last time too. So yeah, slow versus fast makes a big difference. For example, if your dog usually walks at a reasonable pace on leash with you
mm-hmm.
and then has to hit the end of the leash, they may be ramped up to the point where they can't walk more slowly anymore.
Yeah.
And we know that from one of our dogs.
Well, and I think we all know the zoomies.
Yes.
Right? For those of you who don't know, that's when your dog just uncontrollably needs to run around. Tends to happen at night.
Can
happen at night. And you'll just get a dog, especially like a younger dog, but who just, okay, now is the time when I run like a crazy dog around the house for a little while until I fall down exhausted.
Mm-hmm. And the zoomies don't have to be a positive thing, right?
No.
We're like, oh, it's so cute, the dog is running. It might also be a response to a really stressful event.
Yeah.
And that the dog is just trying to regulate
mm-hmm.
in those moments.
But in either case, that's an an
mm-hmm.
agitated,
mm-hmm.
high arousal dog that is
yeah.
running so fast.
100%.
Yep. So the last one is balance.
Yeah. So balance is where is your dog's balance.
Mm-hmm.
Are they evenly balanced over all four paws
mm-hmm.
or are they leaning forward or backwards?
Right.
So if they're leaning forward, that's often an interested or potentially aggressive stance.
Yeah. You can picture that dog that has like maybe even one paw, like a front paw
mm-hmm.
down and another one lifted
mm-hmm.
and they're leaning way forward.
That's usually
like a
pointer
kind of yeah.
prey drive.
Mm-hmm. That's that just before I go streaking after the squirrel moment.
Precisely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Versus, is my dog's balance pushed to the ground? So imagine it as if somebody pushed your dog down on their back. So they're kind of cowering down in
mm-hmm.
the front. And that's generally a more fearful behavior.
I get sad just thinking about it.
Yeah. one of our dogs can struggle with crossing long wooden bridges on hikes.
Yeah.
And then you will really see him like cower towards the ground in the front and
mm-hmm.
his hind end will get very stiff.
He gets real hunchy.
Really hunchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Generally, if the dog lowers their head below their spine and kind of hunches that forward too, kind of as an extension of that,
mm-hmm.
that can also mean that they're more fearful.
Yeah. You'll sometimes see dogs doing that when they're being kind of submissive
mm-hmm.
towards other dogs or
mm-hmm.
to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, but if they're growing in the front and they're kind of elevating the head and growing out of the neck forwards, that can be more of a what you want kind of stance. Similarly, if a dog approaches you and they're approaching you frontally with stiff body language and they're just kind of staring you down, that is not a happy social dog.
Right.
Whereas for us humans, that might be polite to do. Dogs generally approach in friendly curves.
Oh, right, kind of sidling.
Sidling up. So same with you, like with a new dog, you might not want to approach them frontally staring at them, reaching out your hands towards them.
Right.
But
so
you might want to
we can take
sideways.
A lesson from how they approach us to see how they want to be approached.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any more questions about body language?
Okay, I got one more.
Okay, go for it.
This is not really related to any of these, but I think it kind of takes in the collective. What does it mean when a dog shakes?
Oh, shaking off?
Like they just came out of a river and they're shaking water off, but they're not wet.
Great question. So usually a shake means that your dog just experienced a stressful situation and they're moving back into their parasympathetic nervous system. So that they're letting go of some of that tension.
So is that like we might like do a big breathing out or something like that?
Yeah.
Or even like now that I think of it, sometimes you'll just like shake yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just like that.
Okay. So that signals them letting go of some stress or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So it's actually a good thing. So I always say, good shake, and give my dog a treat. Not every time, but very often.
I just like to apologize to the listeners for bumping the table that this microphone is sitting on. Hopefully it hasn't distressed your listening experience too much.
I think we can forgive you.
Thanks. Appreciate that. So cool. That feels like we just talked about dog body language. Yeah.
All the things. Yeah. Are you ready for a quick tip?
Let's have a quick tip.
Okay, my quick tip is combining what we talked about last time with what we are talking about this time.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for you to make what we might call an ethogram of your dog.
I'm going to need you to unpack that ethogram a little bit, please.
Yeah, it sounds complicated. Ethogram just means a body language overview for your dog. So I would like for you to observe your dog in a calm environment where you would expect for them to be in their green zone, in their relaxed state.
Okay.
What does your dog look like? You can go through the ears, eyes, tail, muzzle, and you can also take a look at their general balance. Is their spine curved? What are the paws doing, right? What does your dog look like when they're completely relaxed or just moseying around sniffing happily?
Okay, yeah. So that's an ethogram, is what does your dog look like when they're happy and relaxed?
That's one part of the puzzle, right?
Okay.
And then you would take your dog into a slightly busier environment. What changes do you see in your dog?
Mm-hmm.
What are their ears doing as they're becoming more alert? What about their gaze? What's their muzzle doing, right?
So this is the part where we take this general information about dogs as a whole.
Yeah.
And we turn it into specific information about our dog.
That's
and
right.
How they express their various, you know, states of arousal and feelings.
Yeah, that's a really great way to talk about it.
Okay.
So I do not recommend putting your dog into situations where they might display red zone behaviors.
Yeah.
We don't need to scare them or trigger them.
Sure.
If you happen to see your dog by chance in a red zone, you may then take that information and put it into your ethogram. But please do not trigger your dog or scare your dog.
Yeah, of course.
It's a really bad idea. Also, don't put like a cucumber behind your cat. Right? That's terrifying to cats. Don't do that, right? So don't scare your animal for a video. Anyway, I could get on my soapbox.
I'm going to just go ahead and propose that the people who have made it this far in the podcast are not going to try to deliberately scare their animals.
I like it.
I think we can appreciate our audience that far.
I appreciate my audience very much.
Okay, well, cool. So ethogram, that is your quick tip?
That is my quick tip.
Anything to add to that?
Well, you can then, once you have it, use your ethogram to make informed choices about whether you want your dog to continue existing in this environment or whether you want to remove them from it or change something.
I'm sure just taking the effort to be, you know, really like observant and mindful of what you're seeing in your dog is going to do a really good job of helping you build that intuitive understanding of how your dog is feeling, even if you're not using that ear size tails muzzle or even specifically noticing the balance or anything like that, mm-hmm. the more time you spend with that idea and really digging into the specifics of how is my dog feeling, mm-hmm. you're going to get to a place where you just know at a glance.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You're going to get really good at this. It's mm-hmm. a matter of practice. It's like a foreign language.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is a language, right?
Of course. Yes, it certainly is. Well, cool. You want to do our shout out?
Yes. I am shouting out, very old school of me, a book today. Can you believe it?
I absolutely believe it. I've seen your shelves.
You have. Well, this book is by Turid Rugas. She is Norwegian, I believe. I'm going to have to look that up. Should have done that before.
Sounds it.
Right? Yeah. Well, she is a canine behaviorist and author, and her approach to body language is a little bit unusual. And I would say that it kind of, I would say, goes against some of the science out there.
Okay.
Because she does not talk, she talks about calming signals in dogs, which are signals that dogs emit to calm themselves or others down. There's, I mean, as far as I know, there's not a whole lot of research to back that term, but it's still a really fascinating read.
Okay.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book called On Talking Terms with Dogs. And she kind of digs into how dogs communicate with each other and how we as humans can participate in that communication.
Interesting.
Really fascinating. So we'll link this book in the show notes. We'll give you a link not to the Amazon, though I'm sure it's available there too, but to a company called Dogwise, which is a small publishing company. Support small businesses if you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, really great book. It will give you a different outlook on why yawning at your dog or blinking at them might be a good idea sometimes.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, that sounds like a good read. Cool. Well, I guess maybe it's time to wrap it up, yeah?
Yeah, thanks so much for listening to the Reward Your Dog podcast. If you like the show, well, we would love it if you could reward us by reviewing, liking, and subscribing.
Yeah, that stuff helps, folks. We want feedback, suggestions, questions. Please send all of that stuff to Verena, V-E-R-E-N-A, at rewardyourdogtraining.com. You can find Reward Your Dog Training on Facebook and TikTok at Reward Your Dog Training and Instagram at Reward Your Dog. For more information on offerings from Reward Your Dog Training, that
whoa,
one's yours.
Whoa, 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 Jesse.
Okay,
this is running away with it.
Why don't you just pick up it for more?
It's fine. I just wanted to point out that I made a little form on my website for you all to drop some questions and feedback without having to email me.
Oh, yeah, because I want to do a letter segment.
Yes.
And use that thing.
If you go to the Reward Your Dog Training website, which is www.rewardyourdogtraining.com/podcast, scroll to the bottom and you can see a little form where you can enter your comments, suggestions, questions, all the good things.
Yeah, cool. For more information on offerings from Reward Your Dog Training, check out our website at rewardyourdogtraining.com, the aforementioned rewardyourdogtraining.com.
The very same one, yeah. Yes.
So listen, give your dog a cookie from us.
And give yourself a cookie, too, if you like cookies. I don't need cookies.
We've covered that.
Have we?
Yeah, we have.
But have we covered the fact that I don't eat cookies?
You eat cookies. You just don't eat sugar. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We're talking about dogs. Talking about you.